Chapter 49. By the time they got back to Hell Knows Where, Joshua had been away from the worlds of humanity for more than a full year, and he found a heap of messages, mostly from Nelson, who, astonishingly, wanted Joshua to come help him find a lost grandson. He spent some time with Bill Chambers and other friends. He spent more time in hospital getting his leg and the rest of him checked over. Well, it worked. He walked in on crutches and out on a walking stick. It was June of 2071 by the time Joshua Valiente made it back to Madison, Wisconsin on Datum Earth, his hometown. But here he was, keeping a promise to his wife. He stepped back into a small community called Pine Bluff, outside the West Beltline Highway, around 10 miles due west of downtown on Mineral Point Road. Leaning on his stick, he had his battered pack on his back, his broad-brimmed hat on his head. He found himself standing on a cracked asphalt strip, lined by the shelves of derelict, ash-stained buildings, a handful of newer structures sprouting in cleared plots. Constructed of aluminium and ceramic and treated timber, materials imported from the low earths, the new builds looked like colourful mushrooms. Neat-looking electric vehicles were parked here and there. As usual, he felt a kind of cultural, even physical shock at returning to the original Earth, the home of mankind. The sheer extent to which the landscape had been shaped, carved up and built over was startling, even compared to the increasingly settled low Earths, even here in this outer suburb of what had always been a small city. This was the legacy of thousands of years of humans working the planet, ripping up the land and building, building, and then demolishing or bombing and building again. It wasn't until you had walked into versions of the world where only a handful of natural stepper humans had set foot before Step Day that you truly realized how much difference all that activity had made. And that was even before Yellowstone had turned much of this particular earth, and in particular North America, into an ash-coated charnel house. And yet, 30 years after Yellowstone, the datum was recovering. Standing here in the middle of the road, you had to admit it. This afternoon, the sky was a normal-looking midsummer blue, with a litter of cloud. The aerosols and gases pumped into the air from the immense volcanic caldera had more or less washed out now. And the ash had washed away too. Although out of town, you could still see big reefs of it heaped up by the highways, and if you dug down into the farmers' fields, you would usually find a fine layer of the stuff, only a little way under the surface. But even now, even after so many years, he still thought he could smell soot and gasoline fumes in the air, the ghosts of billions of rusted cars. And it was cold, much colder. Thanks to the volcano winter, Wisconsin, they said, was now more like Manitoba. Flowers were growing through cracks in the asphalt at his feet, despite the cold.
"Are you okay, mister?"
"Huh?" A young woman stood before him, wearing a practical-looking coverall. She had pale red hair. She might have been 30.
"I own the motel over there. Well, with my partner Joe... I was just putting out the evening sign, and there you were in the middle of the road."
He glanced over at the motel. A chalkboard outside the door advertised drinks, food, and a selection of delicacies based on Wisconsin cheeses. "Some things don't change," he said.
"You got that right. You just stepped in?"
"Is it that obvious?"
"You looked a little lost. Strange coming back, huh? Lots of ghosts."
"I guess."
"You aren't Mr. Valiant, are you?"
"Valiente. Joshua Valiente."
"Valiente? Sorry. Kind of an unusual name."
And a name she'd never heard before, it seemed. So much for fame. "I guess it is."
"We're expecting you. You're the only guest we have arriving this evening. Would you like to come into the warm? We'll get you checked in and you can make yourself comfortable. None of the rooms are air-conditioned, you understand. You have a private room, just as you booked, or what we call private anyhow. There's TV and web connections, on a good day. Oh, and the power goes off at 10 p.m. Still, we're better off than we were. We got a repatriation grant for redevelopment. Have you heard of that? Money to get people to come back to the datum and rebuild, now that the weather's easing at last, or so they say. I like President Damasio, I think. Didn't vote for her, of course. Oh, here I am yapping on while you're standing there. Can I take your pack?
No, thank you. He began to hobble beside her towards the hotel.
That leg looks painful. Arthritis?
A bad break.
You sure I can't help?
No, thank you. They paused in the shade of an awning by the chalk sign.
I had a note. You want to visit a cemetery?
Yes, Forest Hill. My wife's there.
That's on this side of downtown. It's an easy drive in. We have carts you can hire. Or do you have a current driver's license?
He goggled. You need a license?
I'd be happy to drive you.
I don't want to trouble you.
I need to go pick up some stores tomorrow anyhow. She smiled. I mean, it's not like there's a bus service. Not out this far.
Joshua suppressed a sigh. The great Valiente, the long earth wanderer, leaning on a stick, forgotten even in Dayton, Madison, and reduced to getting a ride from some fresh-faced kid.
Well, that's kind of you.
In the morning, then.
Thank you, Ms.
Green. Phyllida de Green.
She stuck out her hand. He shook her hand, startled. Helen's family had been Greens. It was a common enough name, but Madison was a small city, and the hair color looked about right. Was it possible? Well, if this was some distant cousin of his wife, it felt okay to let her take care of him just a little bit, even if she had never heard of him.
Are you sure you're feeling all right?
I'm fine, Miss Green. Just more old memories.
This way, then.
Watch the step now.